show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
And we want to welcome you back to another edition of the Big E Sports Show right here at eradiosports.com. And in fact, it is time to hit on several prominent storylines that have emerged over this past week. We're getting set to talk about some NFL, some college football news. Unfortunately, at the forefront is Aaron Hernandez, this saga as it continues to unfold. We are pleased to welcome back into our program Steve Bornstein of Fox Sports New Mexico. And Steve, it's great to have you on the program.
Great to be back. Thank you for having me.
We certainly have a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to start with the bad news first. Of course, it's disturbing, it's chilling. There's no adjective to describe this. Aaron Hernandez, when you look at this investigation, it is absolutely stunning, Steve. You just really ask yourself, how in the world does something like this happen? He's 23 years old, a year after signing a $40 million contract. He's engaged. He's got a seven-month-old daughter. You know, the world, everything's going so great for him, and now he is truly looking, if convicted, facing first-degree murder charges and life in prison. This is as bad as it gets in sports.
Literally 5 minutes before you called me, I was checking on a lead I had gotten from a friend of mine. The NFL.com website, which is the official website for the league, has officially erased every statistical memory of Aaron Hernandez. Right now, he does not exist as a player in the National Football League. His entire record, a body of work in the NFL, has been erased from the site. Now, that may change at some point in time, but right now, it's like he never played. And it's a shocking story on so many levels, simply because, you know, of the seriousness of it here. We have the story years ago of Ray Lewis, and there was, you know, some thought that maybe he was more involved than others and blah, blah, blah. And his career ended up, you know, coming out to look great in retrospect. And now you have the Aaron Hernandez story. What's amazing about this story is the veracity of it, the seriousness of it, and the fact that now we're hearing more and more stories that he may have been involved in some other issues even prior to this most recent murder investigation. There have been other issues with him, apparently, that now we're starting to come to light. And it's sad because, you know, this is a kid who, you know, has so much promise, part of that great tight end regime in New England, you know, with himself and Rob Gronkowski. One of the things that I think is most curious to me is how, for so many years, we were always told how Bill Belichick went out of his way to get guys with great character. He didn't want people that were in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. He didn't want players who were problems. Well, look at recent years. Chad Ochocinco, Randy Moss, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, which are so completely away from the norm of what we had come to expect from Bill Belichick coach teams. And I'm wondering what happened, because somewhere along the line, it seems that Bill Belichick sacrificed that, I don't want guys who cause problems. I don't want guys in the spotlight. And little by little, he allowed guys who found themselves in the spotlight. And now we're seeing tremendous, tremendous backlash for those decisions.
But I understand they knew, obviously the Patriots knew a little bit on the history of his background and his involvement with other gangs, with Aaron Hernandez. But how much, as far as, you know, you're starting to hear some things about the addition of Tim Tebow, in fact, does, you know, make the Patriots, as far as how he's going to help in terms of with the psyche in the locker room with these guys, because everybody is devastated.
Well, yeah, everyone's devastated. And you bring up Tim Tebow, who was a teammate of Aaron Hernandez, who's back at the University of Florida.
Right.
And you have to wonder if maybe, if they didn't know, if the Patriots had some inkling that maybe he needed someone who, you know, was back in his days in college, if maybe Tebow wasn't brought in just to sort of be, you know, a good influence around him. And I question whether or not Tebow's ever going to be a success as an athlete or as a quarterback or anything, for that matter, as far as a player is concerned. But maybe he was just brought in to be sort of a buffer, you know, for Aaron Hernandez. Well, now that that's gone, again, Tim Tebow may find himself in a situation where he's a man without a position and a man without really anything to do. Although, if Rob Gronkowski can't play and if Aaron Hernandez can't play, well, if nothing else, Tim Tebow might be that blocking tight end that maybe they need, you know, on that offensive line coming into this next season. Think about this. If Gronkowski can't go for opening day of the NFL season, Hernandez is obviously off the team now. They lost Wes Welker. They lost Brandon Lloyd. The New England Patriots will go into the 2013 season minus their top four receivers from 2012.
Steve Wortstein is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we know him well, Fox Sports Radio New Mexico. You can dial him in on 1340. And, you know, Steve, we're talking about the Patriots, but I want to set that aside. I just, you know, really, I mean, you've covered sports for so many years. How does something like this happen? You talked about Ray Lewis, but I think of Ray Carruth, his time with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, how do young men, you know, get themselves involved in these situations and make these horrible decisions?
Because money is a very... very powerful aphrodisiac, Alyssa, and money changes people. And we've seen it with other athletes. We see it with Kobe Bryant. We can go on and on and name guys, you know, who have let power and money get to their heads and get to their egos. And, you know, it's 95% of these guys keep it out of the spotlight. 95% of these guys keep it out of the news. Then you have the guys like Plaxico Burress who get caught in a nightclub carrying weapons. You've got Dante Stallworth, who killed a man. It's his car.
Yeah.
Hit a man in the middle of the night, in broad daylight, essentially, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, walking across the street in Miami, Florida, and is still playing football today. I mean, these are situations where money is power. And unfortunately, you know, these guys get away with it because they have the resources and they have the ability to skirt away from things. How many times do we hear about athletes in palimony suits? How many times do we hear about athletes getting involved in this and getting involved with that? It's not. It's unfortunate that, you know, so much of these stories, you know, so many of these stories come up at the worst possible time for a league. I mean, you have the Alex Rodriguez story, which came up right before the start of the Major League Baseball season. You've got this story just as now we're starting to get to thinking about college and pro football. Now you've got this story that comes up here, but unfortunately, you know, bad timing doesn't know, you know, when to not show up, and bad things happen all the time. If Aaron Hernandez's story didn't come out now, it could have come out later. It, you know, there's no excuse for what money does to people. And you either make the right decisions or you make the wrong decisions. And again, this goes back to, you know, for a moment, this goes back to Bill Belichick. You mentioned, you know, how do these things happen? How does Bill Belichick not know what this guy did in college? How does he not know? How does the personnel people, the people who...
Well, they're saying other teams had passed on him because they knew of his history.
And so, yeah, right, he was the 110th pick of the draft, and he was a good player in college. But so why did the Patriots go for him? All these years, the Patriot way was they avoided guys like this. They avoided guys who wanted the spotlight. And suddenly now you find all these guys. Rob Gronkowski's behavior over the last couple of years has been very questionable, and I know that Bill Belichick doesn't approve of that kind of behavior. So it's kind of interesting to me, and Bill Belichick is a guy who is very private. Bill Belichick is a guy who is very stoic. And eventually, he's going to have to answer these questions. These questions are not going to go away anytime soon. And we saw how, you know, terse he was at, you know, been bristling at questions about Tim Tebow and his role on the team. How's he going to feel having to answer questions about Aaron Hernandez, who isn't even on the team anymore?
You know, as a parent, Steve, you know, there's always teachable moments. And the one thing that I was thinking about during this week when all of this was unfolding and Aaron Hernandez being arrested, the NFL Rookie Symposium was going on. And you have to wonder what so many of these rookies are thinking about as they're watching this unfold. I mean, it certainly would make you sit up and pay attention, or hopefully it would make these guys sit up and pay attention and really provide for them a real lesson on, you know, who you're hanging out with.
Let's go back to the great voice clip of former New York Jets head coach Herm Edwards. When he goes on about the 12 o'clock rule. If the girl's not smiling at you at 12 o'clock, time to go. That's the 12 o'clock rule. I use on my show because it's a reminder. And then you have Herm Edwards there. This past rookie camp, they had Pac-Man Jones there. Pac-Man Jones, who talks about, I didn't think there was anything wrong with going to the strip club. Well, yeah, there was, because you probably, you were deliberately involved in a near homicide at a script club one time, you know, Pac-Man. So, yeah, it's amazing how all these rookie symposiums and all these, you know, meetings with these former NFL stars and former NFL coaches, and they can tell you 9,500 horror stories, all of them, about things not to do. And it's literally, Alyssa, like it goes in one ear and literally out the other, because the minute they get that first paycheck, their entire lives have changed. And, again, this is a seller's market. This is... You know, this is a market where it's supply and demand. And, yeah, we want this XYZ player on this team, and we're going to pay you enormous gobs of money to do what you do and sort of be damned with the consequences.
Steve, did you watch the footage as far as when Aaron Hernandez was arrested, his appearance in court? Because I have to tell you, he did not look like a broken man. He did not look contrite. I thought, I didn't know what to take away from that.
Well, I mean, he's a guy who obviously believes that, he believes his story. You know, what's interesting to me is how quickly we went away, we being the district attorney's office in Attleboro County, or I'm sorry, Bristol County in Massachusetts, they went away from the obstruction of justice charges, and they went directly to murder one. So they obviously have evidence. One of the pieces of evidence they have, which is still starting to, you know, trickle out as to all this evidence here, apparently in some sort of a CSI moment, when they were going through the shell casings that were found at the supposed scene of the crime,
yes.
They also found a chewed up piece of bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
And this bubble gum was something that he had been spotted buying an hour and a half earlier at a gas station before this incident took place. So, for all of the genius that went into destroying your home surveillance system, all of the genius that went into having professional cleaners come and scrub down your home, all of the genius of destroying your cell phone, which, as we know, doesn't really work anyway because the records are still going to be somewhere. All those things aside, you're going to get caught because you spat out a piece of bubble gum, supposedly at the scene of the crime.
Steve Bortstein with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can listen to this entire interview on our podcast page. Go to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We're getting you up to date on the latest with the Aaron Hernandez saga. And what about the co-conspirators? I mean, it wasn't just Aaron alone in this.
And apparently those two guys, I would imagine, were probably caught, were probably given a deal, and they probably dropped dimes. Which is a crime term for those of you
right.
Underwear that yeah I wasn't sure. I don't want to get all technical, but I would imagine they probably were given a deal like, hey, we've got all this evidence against Aaron Hernandez, we're going to make you a deal, you can be out in 2 to 4. Aaron Hernandez, we want him because he's the guy in this case, so you're going to drop evidence and you're going to testify against him. And I imagine that's what they did. I mean, let's face it. At the end of the day, you're going to save your own skin if it means you're going to be out in 2 to 4, as opposed to the other guy who they're going to put in prison, supposedly, if he's found guilty for the rest of his natural life.
We're going to move ahead. We're going to talk some college football news now with Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports New Mexico. Steve, quickly tell all of our listeners and all our different markets where they can go and listen to you online and also about horse racing.
You can listen to me do a regular sports show called First Sports in the Morning. It's on from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. That's 7 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time. It's over at foxsports1340.com. Click on the Listen Live feature. We're live on the iHeartRadio platform every Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain. And then on weekends, I host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, also available online at that website, foxsports1340.com. And that is from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern or 8 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time. So 7 days a week, a little bit of Steve Bortstein goes a long way.
Very well said. Okay, let's talk about the Oregon Ducks. Of course, I want you to weigh in on the NCAA investigation, the sanctions that have come down. Oregon, obviously, their failure to monitor its football program. Chip Kelly, bye-bye. He's in the pro leagues now. So what did you think about in terms of the penalties and the 3-year probation coming down?
Let me say for the record that I am a staunch supporter of the University of Southern California. I am an alumni of the University of Southern California. So let me say that for the record so that I don't sound like I'm just, you know, so that I can sound as absolutely biased as possible. What happened this week with the University of Oregon is positively criminal, okay? And I'm going to say this. The same things that USC did as far as recruiting is what Oregon did. The only difference between Oregon and USC is Reggie Bush. And so by that rationale, Reggie Bush alone, what he did was worthy of 32 more scholarship losses, 2-year bowl ban, and 5 years of probation. So more than what Oregon got. Oregon got so much less for doing one thing less than what USC did, which is amazing to me because Reggie Bush, honestly, what he was given by USC, if we believe all the investigation, we believe all the stuff that the NCAA Infractions Committee came out with, all the stuff that Reggie Bush got didn't amount to anything really as far as, you know, monetary value. It was minuscule. So it's shocking to me that you have documentation of Chip Kelly getting off a plane in Houston. You have documentation of Chip Kelly receiving a check for $20,000 and then handing another check to a recruiter for $25,000. You have all of these things documented, which is more than they had on USC. And Oregon gets 3 years probation and they get one scholarship loss a year. Oh, and by the way, it also doesn't hurt that the little swoosh thing, that little emblem that's on 75% of the college football uniforms that you watch every Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, the guy who created the swoosh emblem is a huge financial supporter of the University of Oregon by the name of Phil Knight, the president of Nike. So don't think that didn't go into some consideration as far as the lack of penalties handed down to the University of Oregon this week.
Okay, so the University of Oregon last year, they're coming off a 12-1 season, capped off by a victory against K-State in the Fiesta Bowl. What are the long-term effects of this? I mean, do you see any? Obviously, you know, Chip Kelly has moved on, as we just mentioned.
The long-term effects are going to be nil. I mean, they're going to lose one scholarship a year, so it's not like USC in any way, shape, or form. They're still going to be able to field 84 players a year.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be under the watchful eye of the NCAA Infractions Committee, which thought so heavily of the penalties that this school committed and the violations the school committed, that their big thing was they wanted Chip Kelly, if he had stayed at Oregon, to take a course in proper NCAA athletic recruiting. That was going to be their stand if Chip Kelly had stayed on as the coach of Oregon. And he decided to bail out on that so he could take a cushy job away from the watchful eye of the NCAA and take a cushy job as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, much like Pete Carroll did when he bailed out of USC to take a cushy job as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. This is, and I'm saying this as gently as possible, this entire process that Oregon went through and is going to go through is a joke as compared to what USC suffered, as compared to what Ohio State went through, as compared to what Oklahoma went through back in the day, SMU, all of these institutions that suffered severe, severe penalties should be absolutely feeling like they just watched a criminal act take place with what the NCAA did in Slap on the Wrist of Oregon.
Okay, Steve Bortstein with us a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Okay, since we're on topic talking about Chip Kelly, what kind of longevity do you see him having in the NFL? And if he should return to the college ranks, do you think, you know, obviously you're not pleased with how the NCAA penalized him and the conditions that they put on him?
I'm not pleased with how they treated him. I mean, they treated him with kid gloves, much the same they did to Pete Carroll. And honestly, it's a shame that, you know, if you're a college athlete, you know, you have to suffer the slings and arrows of missing a year if you bail out or whatever. Chip Kelly walks away from this scot-free, just like Pete Carroll walked away from it scot-free. And it's a shame that those things happened. As far as Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, you know, it depends on really, you know, how well Chip Kelly can motivate millionaire athletes. It's one thing when you're a college athlete. You can tell a college athlete what to do. You can tell a college athlete what he has to do to get better. When you're telling that same now 23, 24-year-old athlete with a $5 million bank account what to do, it's a different story. It's a different world. They've bought into it in Seattle a little bit, I think, because Pete Carroll has that us-against-the-world mentality. It's working in Seattle. I don't know if that same mentality is going to work in Philadelphia, especially when you've got guys there like Mike Vick, who, you know, obviously Mike Vick's supposedly a changed man now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's older now, and he sees the writing on the wall. His career is coming to an end. It's a team that's not exactly the most youthful team on the planet right now. And you got a lot of guys here who are looking out for themselves right now. And that's not something that a college football coach has to deal with. He doesn't want to deal with guys who are in it for themselves. You're dealing with a college program that has to deal with the same recruiting issues and keeping the program in check and everything else. These pro football players, it's not the same thing. So that's going to be interesting to see how Chip Kelly handles the personality shift that he's going to go through. You know, you can't tell a 25-year-old millionaire what to do. You can tell a 19-year-old kid who wants to be a millionaire what to do, but once they get those millions, it's a lot tougher.
Well, a lot of folks saying that he's going to have, it'll be short-lived, his time in the NFL, but that's their opinions, and we will just wait and see. Now, since you did bring up USC, how are they doing in terms of their recovery mode, and when will they be off all these sanctions?
Boy, I'd love to tell you we're going to be good this year. We're going to be terrible this year.
Really?
I don't think we're going to a bowl game. Let's just say it that way. And it might be for the best. I'm done with the Lane Kiffin regime. I'm officially off the bandwagon. I think Lane Kiffin was a good idea. It was a good Band-Aid for a little while. But his actions towards the end of last season, particularly at the Sun Bowl, where he basically disrespected the city of El Paso, he disrespected the game. His players came out lackadaisical. It was a bad finish to the season. I'm kind of done with the Lane Kiffin regime. The guy that I'd love to see take over there is currently a defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, named the name of Jack Del Rio, former USC guy. I think he would fit very well there. And I think, you know, if the Broncos have a good season this year, I think it's something that Del Rio would consider sometime down the road. But there needs to be a change at the top. And I'll also be honest, I'm not thrilled with Pat Hayden. I'm not thrilled at all with some of the decisions that Pat Hayden has made since coming in, taking over for Mike Garrett as the athletic director at USC. I'm not thrilled with some of the things I've seen from him because he seems to be buying into the Lane Kiffin mentality, and you can't. Lane Kiffin is, at the end of the day, a guy who still rides on daddy's coattails and a guy who makes bad decisions and doesn't, I think, represent the school very well. And I think it's giving for a traditional power like the University of Southern California, you can't be that guy. You can't make yourself the center of attention. It didn't work for, at the end of the day, it didn't work for John Robinson, but John Robinson had success. John Robinson had Rose Bowl victories. Lane Kiffin doesn't. Lane Kiffin has nothing really to speak of.
How many days till the start of college football season?
About 80, I think. It couldn't honestly come fast enough.
I know it. We love it.
The minute basketball and hockey ended, we started talking football on my show. That was it.
Oh, and I know they love it out there in the Four Corners area. Steve, listen, I would love, but we're out of time. I would love to talk to you, do a recap on the NBA Finals. I guess I'll have to do that with my next guest. And Steve, always an open invitation. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. And I hope our topics next time will be a little bit more on the up and up. I mean,
very quickly, when the Miami Heat are creating rings for the NBA championship, one extra ring should be made for Manu Ginobili. That's it. That's it.
He was good in Game 5.
He's good in Game 5, not so much in 6 and 7.
Yeah, he was a no-show. Well, listen, Steve-O, we love you. We'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Take care, bye.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead with Patrick Livingston, the CEO of National Golf School. Stay close.